A new digital repository for sharing research data and other information among colleges and universities in Arkansas is being developed at the U of A in Fayetteville. The Connects Cloud is being jointly developed by IT services at the university and the Arkansas Research Educational Optical Network, also called RON, an entity that provides high-speed data pipelines between campuses and is owned by higher education in the state. Bobby Holloman is the director of the project at the university, and Mike Abbiati is the executive director of RON. Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis spoke with the two earlier this week in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio. Holloman says the Connects Cloud was born January 2011. The need for an information repository became apparent after receiving input from the university's library and research departments.
As we went through that process of talking to researchers and going to conferences and getting to know the academic and research side of our campus better, we realized that there were a lot of needs that they had that really weren't being met. And as we looked at the architecture we were implementing for the institutional repository, we realized that the things that we were doing would scale very well, not only for an institutional repository, but across the campus and across the campus borders, across the state, really. So we started looking at other opportunities we might have to provide more services to research and academics on our campus. And in the process of doing so, we realized that a cloud infrastructure would be what we needed in order to really cost-effectively provide these services and do it in a way that we can manage it with just a small handful of people.
You mentioned an institutional repository. What types of information are put into this repository?
Well, as a research institution, it's very important that the outputs of the university, which would be the publications of the researchers and the learning objects that are created by the faculty and the publications that come out, it's very important that those things are made publicly available and indexed properly, connected to the global catalogs so that people, you know, across the world can get to that information. And so that's one of the functions of an institutional repository is to capture that information and that data and make it available publicly.
To make this information available publicly, it takes a large amount of infrastructure, correct?
Correct. Some of the collections that we're working with are in the terabyte range, especially when you start talking about satellite imagery collections and large data sets created from instrumentation, high-tech instrumentation in different, you know, sciences at the campus. So when we look at traditional storage mechanisms that we've used for our enterprise systems, you know, we've looked to things like SAN storage and network-attached storage devices. But even that type of equipment was expensive and frequently is proprietary, meaning, you know, somewhere down the road we're going to be tied to some company, you know, in order for to continue to get support for that. So we decided to look beyond that and look to the cloud and look at distributed compute and distributed storage options in the open source community that would provide the infrastructure that we need to implement these services cost effectively.
Now you say open source. Could you describe that really briefly, what that means?
Open source is software that has been written and made publicly available and may or may not have a commitment to maintaining its ongoing, you know, viability in regards to maintenance of the software. So what we do is we go through a filtering process. We identify there's a service or an application we want to provide. There's usually 100 different open source packages available on the internet that people have written. And so we kind of filter through those, and we look for the ones that have a very strong support community. We look for longevity and the length of time that the software package has been around. And then we kind of just narrow down until we identify the packages that meet the objectives of the project.
Now, this is something that's being developed here at the University of Arkansas, but it's also something that's being developed worldwide. Is that correct?
Well, open source software certainly is, and this model of sharing and collaborating and the idea of networking and all these things that we're doing, it is a worldwide thing. You know, we're not the first people in the country to do this. All of our neighbors already have similar initiatives, from Texas to Florida to Georgia.
I'd read somewhere about this that it would allow the researchers to share equipment like electron microscopes and such as that. How is that possible?
Well, we work with the vendor-supplied software, and we find a way to implement that software in a virtual server infrastructure in a way that other researchers can access it across the network. So, you know, some of these projects are generating very large data sets, and so you need a large amount of network bandwidth to satisfactorily move that data across the network. But you got to have a presentation layer as well. And, you know, a good example of one project we're working on is we have a very expensive piece of instrumentation on the UA campus, and it's in a locked room, and so you have to have a key and get permission to go in there and use it. And data is generated by that instrumentation and then shipped to another university in the state who then uses that data. And sometimes there are issues with that because they don't understand how the data was generated. And so it would be beneficial to everybody involved if those researchers in the other part of the state were able to virtually access that instrumentation and generate their own data. And so that's one of the problems that we're working to resolve with the ConnexCloud project.
So the whole idea behind this then is fostering communication between institutions.
Exactly, definitely. Communication and collaboration in a virtual environment.
Okay. Now, back on the infrastructure, this ConnexCloud is carried over the Arkansas Research Education Optical Network. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. And Mike, could you tell me a little bit about that?
Absolutely. I think at its base, the most important part of the project is we're able to connect the hearts and minds of creative, innovative people like Bobby and the applications they develop beyond the physical boundaries of Fayetteville and reach out to other institutions statewide and, you know, region-wide, nationwide, and in fact, globally. And so we're able to derive the benefit from these applications not only by creating applications here in Fayetteville and sharing them elsewhere, but also creating applications elsewhere and sharing them in Fayetteville. So ARON, the Arkansas Research and Education Optical Network, is a very high-capacity fiber-based computer network that is wholly owned by higher education here in Arkansas, and it connects to similar colleagues and similar infrastructure components in other states throughout the United States. And then we also have gateways that allow us to travel all around the world. And that's a very, very important component of this whole process. The creativity that we have on our campuses here in higher education really does not warrant the investment unless we can leverage that creativity and create products, if you will, like the ConnexCloud, that will benefit the citizens of Arkansas. ARON is the highway that carries these applications to the destinations and in the end to the minds of the people that need to use these applications.
And the timing for this is great because there are some really big challenges that are coming our way in regards to colleges that are providing technical services. In particular, it's funding. But another big challenge is we really have to do a better job of reducing tuition for students. So one of the things that we're looking at with the ConnexCloud project is how we provide technical services in the learning environment for students. Textbooks, for example. Textbooks are way too expensive. Why are we not incentivizing our world-class faculty to write their own textbooks that can be used across the state here in Arkansas? We need to encourage the creation of learning objects that can be shared across the state and used in the classroom. We want to remove the technical hurdle. We want technology to no longer be used as a reason for a barrier for these kind of activities happening at a statewide level. And we're also going to have to define a new strategy. One of the big challenges facing IT programs in the state is commercial outsourcing and commercially managed hosting. And a lot of directors, I believe, are being asked the question now, you know, why are we still building these systems in-house when we could just host this externally? There are a lot of concerns around commercialization of higher education, and I think those concerns are warranted. I think we need to be careful about just how much we give up control of our technical direction and the ability to create our own technical strategy going forward as a higher education system. And so what we're looking for are opportunities to present alternatives to the either build it in-house or commercially outsource it. And that alternative is something that we like to call state insourcing. And so instead of investing our money in expensive proprietary commercial software, you invest your money in highly skilled Arkansans that would like to come work for us and can build you a custom system designed to meet your particular needs.
So this is something that could not only benefit educational research, but it can also create jobs.
Of course, because we're actually going in the opposite direction right now. Every application, every service that we outsource to a commercial entity that at the end of the day is beholden to shareholders, not their clients. You know, every time we outsource one of these applications, there's a possibility that we are losing a job position in a university somewhere. And if you look at the end result of that, let's say everybody did the same thing and eventually everybody outsourced to Blackboard or some other, you know, whoever they choose to, you know, eventually you no longer have IT skill sets at your universities. All you have is people that kind of manage your contracts with your outsource managed host providers, and that's it. And the problem with that is, if you look at a lot of the technologies we depend on today, like the internet and Microsoft and Facebook and Google, all of these things were incubated in higher education institutions. All the commercial organizations are doing is taking these technologies, repackaging them, and reselling them. So why can we not get back to that place where we are the innovators and we need to retain the ability to be innovative? We need to retain the flexibility in higher education institutions to create new technologies and to create new ways of collaborating and to improve learning in the state.
So would you say that this is the future of computing at higher education facilities?
Oh, yes. A day is quickly coming when we're simply not going to be allowed to continue to provision IT services the way we do today, neither at our school or at any other school in this state. And it's already happened in other states. You know, a lot of things are being centralized. A lot of things are being unified. It's important to me to show that we as institutions in this state can work together to meet our own needs. And we don't need somebody else in another state and another, you know, a company to do it for us.
Well, I think it's important for your listeners to be aware of what's going on in technology in general that impacts the citizens of our state. And one of the big factors, as Bobby mentioned, is who actually is driving the technology revolution that we talk about all the time. Well, that revolution is really driven by our citizens today. Technology doesn't move from the campus to the home anymore. It moves from the home to the campus. And so that means that our partnership has to be very broad and very deep with the people that we serve. That's the reason we have the Connects Project. That's the reason we have Aron, so that we can be deeply involved and responding to the needs of our population, our students, and our citizens, and be able then to move Arkansas to its rightful place in the 21st century.
All right. Well, Bobby, Mike, thank you so much for talking with me this afternoon.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis talked with Bobby Holloman and Mike Abbiati this week about a new digital repository being developed at the University of Arkansas.
The Bentonville Farmers Market is open 7 to 1 each Saturday morning and 10 to 2 on Wednesdays. Located in Lawrence Plaza, just north of the downtown square, this market offers fresh produce, meats, cheeses, breads, and coffees, as well as handmade crafts, cooking demonstrations, and live music. More information at downtownbentonville.org or 254-0254.
Support for KUAF comes from Big Frog of Northwest Arkansas, offering full-color digital custom-printed t-shirts. This direct-to-garment printing allows for 24-hour turnaround on in-stock items, including koozies, tote bags, coasters, and more. Information is available at bigfrog.com/NWA.